CliffCentral.com. Hey, George Mooney, how are you?
Hey, Gareth, good and you?
All good. I have no complaints whatsoever, and it is Friday, and I know when we see you, we've got reason to smile because the weekend has properly begun. Why are you wearing a jacket, George? Are you going somewhere smart after this? Because you never dress up for us.
Well, yeah, I'm going to Pretoria for an in-person meeting, so, you know, you've got to dress up for these occasions.
I know. I was invited to an in-person meeting this week. It feels a bit weird.
It is. So. Good.
George, you could have lied and made us feel special.
You are special, Thea.
You could have said something to make Sia feel like you dressed up for him this morning. You've got your hair did just for Sia. Of course, that's how we all impress Sia. All right, let's go, George. What's going on in the world of cars and motoring and everything?
Well, you were just talking about a new drinking game. Well, you know about the proposed new drunk driving laws that are going to get promulgated, which brings the alcohol in your blood down to zero. If you've got any alcohol in your blood, you get arrested.
Okay.
So is this actually going to happen, and when?
Well, yeah, I think it's more than likely going to happen, but I don't think that those are the concerning things that that have been thought through. Like on the one side, 27% of our road deaths involve alcohol. So it's related to alcohol, which is a high percentage. So I'm not in favor of drinking and driving at all, not even one iota. I don't even have one drink and drive. It's just a rule that I have.
Sure.
George, did you say 27?
27% of road deaths.
So I would have expected it to be a little higher.
I thought that was high.
I think it is high. George, no one is going to defend drunk driving. I don't know anyone who wants, the government's too strict on this drunk driving thing. I just think it's very low hanging fruit. You know, what they've got to do is get the systems right. For example, I know that there are people who've been trying to get their driver's license renewed, including me, since the beginning of this year. And it's impossible to do that. So therefore you end up breaking the rules. I know that there are people who are driving at, let's say it's 100 in an 80 speed zone, and they get fined thousands of rands. Now, to me, that's also stupid, because actually you're not necessarily putting anyone at risk. You know, speed isn't the thing that kills. It's slowing down really fast.
Well, it's the sudden stop, right?
Exactly. So I think that there's a lot of stuff that goes on here that's about government doing what they think will make them look good and will make them look like they're doing something, but they're not really doing anything, because the behavioral change comes in with people. I don't drive drunk either, like you. I used to when, you know, we didn't have Uber and things like that, and I took it very seriously subsequent to that. I've learned my lessons the hard way, and I think many other young people did at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. These days, you got Uber.
You've got options.
There are options. You don't have to be driving drunk, and I think it's a good idea to not have any amount of alcohol in your system if you're going to drive. But it does kind of complicate things from the point of view of, you know, you go out for a lunch and someone has a beer, and you used to be able to get away with a beer or a glass of wine. Now you can't even do that. So I suppose there are going to be people who are going to argue about that stuff.
Well, I think it goes further than that, Gareth, because the AA is arguing that many cough mixtures, medications contain alcohol. So
hot cross buns, remember we had that whole debacle. Mm-hmm.
So you know, while it is a good law, and its intent is good, the actual, as you rightly point out, the actual operational execution and policing of that law for the good becomes challenging, because how do you take medication in the morning that has a small amount of alcohol in it that gets into your blood, and then you show positive on a breathalyzer? So has that been thought through, is what the AA's argument is.
And Raleigh, who's listening to us now, says, do those stats include drunk pedestrians, and what can we do about drunk pedestrians? That's an excellent point.
Very good question.
On my way back from the game reserve over the weekend, I saw a lot of really, really drunk people staggering across highways and things like that. And if you're driving along at 120, there's not much you can do. If someone comes out of nowhere onto a highway and they're drunk as hell, you're going to get the blame as the driver, obviously. but drunk pedestrians seem to be as big a deal as drunk drivers.
Yeah, pedestrians are a big part of our road death toll. You know, people that are on the road and get hit by cars. So I think it's an equally serious problem. It's the execution and the policing of rules that's where the problem starts.
Well, according to Carl, anyway, the zero tolerance rule is stupid because he says it's not people under the current limit who are causing accidents; it's the people who are over the limit, and those people are not going to stop. It's a policing problem, not a policy problem. Another good point.
Exactly. So moving off from drunk people, batteries, you know, in electric cars. I mean, you know, we put out the study the other day that you can go download on reports.autotrader. We put out the study that shows that almost 70% of South African consumers have a high appetite to buy an electric vehicle within the next 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. And particularly people with the means to do it, you know, people over the age of 30 to 55. Those are the people who, you know, are probably have the most means to buy these expensive electric cars. Sure. So the batteries inside electric cars, you've heard about the fires that have happened over the last, 2-3 years. Hyundai in South Korea is being sued as they recall over 70,000 EVs as a result of this risk. So the owner of a Hyundai Kona, who doesn't want to be named, he just wants to be named as Kim, and among 200 other people who have a class action lawsuit against Hyundai seeking compensation for reduced values of their EVs. And this is as a result of a recall of 70,000 of these EVs.
Sure.
Every vehicle's got their problems. I mean, there's no foolproof way. It's a constant. I always get into a car and I just marvel. And, you know, I've driven a lot of different cars this year because I've decided I don't want to own a car. And, you know, Phil, who's been on the show before, he's been giving me different cars from his dealership to drive. And I just marvel at the way every time they bring out a new model of anything, it just is so much more advanced than the previous one by leaps and bounds, because the amount of technological development that has taken place between the last one and the current one, and the amount of thought and the safety considerations and the opportunities to improve and all of that stuff is just absolutely incredible. If I drove the car that I was driving at Varsity now, I would feel like I was in a wheelbarrow with a lawnmower engine.
I had one of those Golf ones.
Yeah, City Golf. I had a City Golf.
And those cars had no crumple zones, proper crumple zones, didn't have airbags. Weren't retractable. You're absolutely right. And I mean, while the 70,000 recall and this lawsuit is going on, the fact that Hyundai actually recalled 70,000 vehicles means that they're taking an issue seriously.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone to now use this as an excuse, just like they did with the self-driving cars, that there's one vehicle left. They've been testing self-driving cars for, you know, a year and a half, 2 years now, and they've had only one incident. And then suddenly everyone's like, oh, well, you see, self-driving cars are dangerous. Now they'll say about electric vehicles, oh, because of this recall, it's bad. You know, there are activists who will use this as an excuse to try and retard the development of these cars.
Well, I mean, you look at the Ford Kuga. I don't know if you remember the fires in the Ford Kuga.
Yes.
And where you'd hear that someone is just minding their own business.
Themselves, who was in the front seat, you know, some divorcee who hangs out Billy the Bums, that Kuga. Ah!
Well, you know, if you really kind of do, if you go and do the maths, you more than likely see that the number of vehicles that actually caught on fire were a drop in the ocean compared to the number of vehicles out on the road. And then Ford did something about it, you know, and Hyundai is doing exactly the same thing. So I think your point is absolutely right. You can't go and, you know, if there's one issue, doesn't mean there's 70,000 issues, but the OEM is making the recall just in case.
Yeah. Okay. You
know, there's 70,000 issues. Anyway, onto a lighter note. A UK number plate, 010, has sold for 2.5 million rand.
I've never understood this.
Well, when reading into this particular topic, I didn't know this until now, but UK number plates, unlike America and South Africa, doesn't attach itself to the car. It attaches itself to the human. So you go with your number plate through your lifetime. You carry the same number plate. Okay. And this particular number plate has been in this family for 118 years.
Sure.
Jeez.
118 years. But, you know, in digging a little bit further, this is quite a big market. In the UK, it is a 40 billion rand market, this number plate speculation, where the number plate 25O, 25 space O, sold in 2014 for 10 million rand.
Why would you want it? Like, I don't understand this. Who needs to have a personalized number plate so badly that they're going to pay millions of rands for it? Who? Who are these sad people? This is like the Japanese with the fucking hand that they're walking around with so they can feel that they won't be alone. If you are paying anything more than the standard going price, whatever it is for a number plate.
150 rand.
Okay, then you just really, you've got major self-confidence issues. I'm going to just say it. I've never met anyone with a personalized number plate, unless it was funny, that didn't have self-confidence issues. Because who are you advertising to? Strangers? You want people on the road to be jealous of you because you got such a personalized plate? Well, I've got bad news. Nobody's jealous of you for your number plate. No one on earth has gone, oh, you know, I lived my life and I had a really good life, but the one thing I was missing was that personalized number plate. Said no.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I tend to agree with you. I don't see the point of personalized number plates, but it is a market for some reason. In the UK, the number plate F1 sold in 2008 for 9 million rand is expected to fetch 20 million rand currently. And the current owner is asking 204 million rand. Now you can buy an actual McLaren for that price.
But this is it. So people are going to be driving behind you at the speed limit with your F1 number plate. And what are they going to be saying? Wow, that guy's a huge F1 fan. Deal, dummy. Really? What the hell is that?
Well, Gareth, I don't want to upset your Friday. So here's a lighter story. Volvo has dropped 10 new cars from a crane.
Why?
On 30 meters on purpose. But if you hear the reason why, you'll understand. So quite often rescue services like life-saving, you know, Jaws of Life and guys that try and cut you out of cars, they don't get the opportunity very often in a real life circumstance to apply their skill or to train. So what Volvo did was they decided to take 10 new cars, drop them from 30 meters, and then give as a training exercise for the life-saving teams so that they could learn how to get into those cars once the cars had crashed.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a thing to have to do, though, dropping cars from a crane.
Good donation, that. Good PR stunt for them.
Very good PR stunt. But I mean, everybody's heard of the golden hour. You know, if they don't get to you within 1 hour, your chances of survival drop dramatically. So it was different makes and models that were dropped from 30 meters, and the emergency services got a chance to try and access those cars. Sure.
George, just on your topic of when we were, you know, driving those cars that we drove years ago, and we didn't think about safety or technology or any of that stuff. You still had the wind-up windows.
Michael had a choker.
And sometimes you didn't even have the window wouldn't go up and down. and people used to put those dashboard protecting screens in the window, you know, the front windows.
Yes.
Yeah. So Tracy says, I had a Corsa light. It was literally a sardine tin with a very wide wingspan when the doors were open. What was your first car, Leanne?
A city shuttle.
Yeah.
City Golf.
Yeah, I remember.
Those old cars. And, you know, you probably remember the Toyota Taz. Most youngsters had Toyota Taz.
Yeah.
Came bare bones, no aircon, nothing.
Also, Opel Cadets were a thing from in my era.
But that was also because you were from the South.
Yeah. Opel Cadet T.
Oh, it would be the convertibles. Those are cool.
Okay. All right, everybody. I'm afraid we're out of time. CliffCentral.com.